Psalm 46. We read verses 1 and 2. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Our outline this afternoon is going to be fairly simple. It's going to be straight out of the text. God is our refuge, first of all. Secondly, God is a very present help in trouble. And third, therefore we will not fear, though the earth is moved. I'm sharing a passage of Scripture with you that I share almost every time I go visit someone in the hospital, every time I face a difficulty myself, anytime that I am visiting with someone who's lost a loved one. This is a precious passage of Scripture because it grounds us in the strength and goodness and power of God in the midst of the very real challenges and upheavals and difficulties of life. Let me say, first of all, that for some of you, particularly if you're young, I recognize that what the psalmist here describes may sound somewhat melodramatic, somewhat hyperbolic, more than what you've experienced, in other words. And you may say to yourself, that sounds impressive, but whatever the psalmist was going through, I've not experienced anything to that degree. On the other hand, there are those of you who know very well, I'm sure, what the psalmist felt when he felt waves of overwhelming, threatening waters that would drown him, impending. Or when what he has always known, what he's always felt, as sure as the ground underneath his feet is shaking. And so, whether you know yet what it means to go through life-shaking, earth-turning challenges, be sure that what the psalmist is writing here is certainly not an overstatement of what some will experience. In fact, many or most will experience in their lifetime, sometime, or maybe even numerous times in their lifetime. And in the midst of these challenges, in the midst of tremendous, threatening, earth-shaking difficulties, the psalmist says, God is our refuge. Notice that God being our refuge is stated completely, exclusively in the singular, on purpose, that God is our only refuge. God is our only refuge and only strength when these kinds of difficulties come. Now, we can run to any number of things for refuge. We can try to entertain away our challenges or discouragements. We can try to run away from certain things. We can try to solve certain difficulties through our own strength or through our own problem-solving skills. But there are those challenges that we face in life where all of that is easily, completely overwhelmed, and we immediately recognize these are not refuges. Nothing else will hold through the real storms, the deep troubles, the painful trials of life. You can try to make other things a refuge, but that doesn't mean they'll be a refuge. You can rush into a cardboard box to hide from a tsunami. In other words, you can try to make something a refuge, but that doesn't mean it's going to be a refuge. It won't be a refuge for you no matter how much you trust in it. So there are endless things you can put your trust in. That's not what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist is saying there's only one place where your trust will be well-founded, where you run into and you actually are safe. God is a refuge. He is the refuge, because unlike the cardboard box, He is a mighty fortress. On this month, actually, 500th anniversary of the Reformation, it's striking to me to hear the hymn so well known from Luther's own testimony, a person who literally had to stand against overwhelming odds, be willing to offer up, sacrifice his own life, risking everything in order to stand for the testimony of Jesus Christ, and then to hear this testimony from his lips: a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Now, those words would mean something if they came from me. I've lived long enough to face some challenges, face some real and difficult ones, but they sure mean a lot coming from Martin Luther's lips, don't they? A mighty fortress is our God, a refuge that will never fail you. God is our refuge when we run to Him, find our strength in Him. And so, friends, this is the obvious import, the obvious force of what the psalmist is saying. So therefore, whatever you may be facing right now or in the future, whatever you may face, find your strength in God through Jesus Christ. Don't settle for lesser refuges that will crumble, that will fail, that will not be mighty enough when mighty trials come your way. In Christ, God has proven His willingness and His ability to be your refuge, because you and I never in all our life have ever faced any threat as daunting as the difficulty of the gap between our sin and God's holiness. We have never faced anything as absolutely insurmountable as that. To think of facing eternity under the wrath of a holy God because we are unholy people. We are born into this world not perfect people. And yet we are made by a perfect God who, because He is perfectly good, will not accept badness. And so, because of this unbridgeable gap between ourselves and God, there was no hope. Not just some little hope, but no hope whatsoever for our soul or for our eternity. And yet, God, in His goodness, stooped down, made a way, built a bridge, and His name is Jesus Christ. And in Christ, God has proven not just His ability, but His willingness to be a refuge for those who trust in Him, who run to Him. When I say that, let me say, don't let the seeming smallness of the man Jesus fool you, the way it even did so many times for His disciples in His own day. You remember the story of the disciples being out in the boat and the waves and the winds were rocking the boat, and it seemed for all the world as if they were doomed. And these were fishermen who knew what it was to know the implications of a storm and the smallness of a boat. It wasn't just that they were overreacting. They understood the danger they were in and understood it accurately. The only problem was they were underestimating the Savior who was in the boat with them, and so they misunderstood, underestimated the situation, the whole situation entirely. Because the man Jesus in the boat with them was seemingly small. They thought they were in greater danger than he could rescue them from. But in fact, his very presence with them is God's proof of his willingness and ability to save them. To think that the God of the universe, who makes things with words, would take the time and the effort and the condescending love to come down and take on flesh and walk the earth for year after year after year after year and be in a boat with his disciples in the midst of a storm. The very fact that he was there with them should have been this tremendous comfort and encouragement to them. Instead, they saw the seeming smallness of Jesus and instead focused their eyes on the bigness of the storm. A well-known atheist today has scoffed at the whole idea of the Christian gospel, saying some man in some small Middle Eastern country at some random point in time dying on a cross, it's so petty, he says, so unworthy of the universe. And in a way, something about that strikes true because it does seem so small, doesn't it? But it's the very smallness of it that is so amazing. That God would not just thunder from his throne and say, be done with you. That he wouldn't just ignite the whole earth aflame and start over again. But that he would actually be born of a virgin, come and be a God-man and walk this earth and take our place and suffer with us and suffer then for us on the cross. Don't allow the smallness of the man Jesus to fool you into undervaluing him as a refuge. It is the very best proof of his promises. It's the very best proof of the willingness and the ability of God to be a refuge to you, that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And so, yes, God, we can trust, is our refuge. And God is a very present help, therefore, in trouble. God, your refuge, the moment you turn to him, the moment you turn to him, a very present help in trouble, whether a repenting rebel like Jonah praying in a fish's belly, whether a man needing wisdom in a moment like Nehemiah praying in the midst of a conversation with the king and needing the wisdom to know how to answer the king, whether a Christian like Paul constantly praying, constantly just going about his daily life, praying for boldness to speak well of Christ in the midst of an unbelieving world. Whatever the need is, whatever the bombardment is, whatever the trouble is, God is not just a help far off and on his way. God is a very present help in your trouble. God is not like Baal. Maybe on a vacation, maybe napping, maybe needing to get some momentum going, maybe needing to be delivered himself so that he can deliver you because he's in chains somewhere to some greater God. No, this is the God of the universe. This is the only Almighty. And so when he is with you, he is all with you. He is a refuge the moment we turn to him, because he is always there, always all-wise, always almighty. That God is a help in trouble, though, means he doesn't necessarily remove the trouble. doesn't necessarily remove all our difficulties. It's interesting, isn't it, the way the psalmist puts it specifically. There's waters roaring, there's mountains crumbling into the ocean, and yet God is our refuge. He doesn't say, and so it all freeze frames and reverses, and there's no problem anymore. No. No, what he does say is, in the midst of that, somehow God is a refuge. In the difficulty, in the pain, in the challenges, he is a refuge. He does not remove all trouble. But as we run to him, find our refuge in him, all trouble is kept from doing us harm, any real harm. So focusing on God, who he is, running to him by faith, trusting in him, it gives us immediate strength in the midst of immediate challenges, real strength in the midst of real difficulties, present strength in the midst of present trouble, because we stop looking at ourselves and we stop looking at our circumstances, and instead we look at God and we are trusting in him, and we know that God has not changed. By faith we know, in the midst of our most overwhelming griefs, sorrows, uncertainties, by faith we know God is still on his throne. That God is still who he has always been. And none of that has changed. And in fact, neither has his love for us. And so even in the midst of the challenge, we run into God as our refuge by faith. And although still facing the difficulty is not the intimidating, threatening, impending doom that we first thought it was. We consider God's immutability, the fact that he does not change. We consider his love and the fact that he showed us his love on the cross. We consider his goodness, that he promises that there's not a single speck of capriciousness, of bitterness, of improperness in anywhere in him. And so we can be sure that whatever he is allowing into our life, he is allowing out of his goodness, because that's all he has. His faithfulness, he's always there, always present, always true to his word. Never a single promise of God dropping to the ground unfulfilled. He's always wise, always wiser than I am. And so I can look at him by faith and say, Lord, I cannot possibly see my way past these mountains. I cannot possibly see my way through this difficulty, but I know that you have wisdom that I don't have. And as hard as it is for me to trust you more than I trust my own eyesight, as hard as that is, I'm going to continue walking by faith. I'm going to continue trusting. And you add to that the other attributes of God that God's word so graciously puts in front of us on every page of Scripture. That's what you do. That's how you make God your refuge. You run into him as he is revealed in his word, not just some warm and fuzzy thoughts or some plaque that we read somewhere that seemed encouraging. No, we run into the real God as he is described for us concretely in his word. And so I encourage you to add to that list I just made of God's attributes. He's immutable. That means he's unchanging. He's loving. He's good. He's faithful. He's wise. But he's so much more than that. And so in the time of trouble, run into God as your refuge by running into the God who is concretely revealed to us in Scripture, thinking carefully, thoughtfully, and placing your trust in who he has revealed to us that he is. Your trouble, yes, may remain, but God will too. And in fact, God will remain into eternity, and your trouble will not. That's what the Bible says, and that's why God is a refuge to you. God is the only refuge that will hold. Therefore, the psalmist says, we will not fear. Though the earth is still moving, the trial's not gone away. The thing was not a mirage. It was not a dream. We didn't wake up from it and just say, oh, God was the one who woke me up from my nightmare. No, God is there and the mountains are still moving. The waters are still roaring. Therefore, though, in the midst of that, in the midst of that very real threatening danger, we need not fear. We will not fear, the psalmist says, though the earth is moving. Here is the psalmist himself doing exactly what he's encouraging us to do. He's not just saying, the Bible reveals that God is a refuge. He's saying, I'm in trouble. I'm running into the refuge. I will not fear, even though the earth is moving. Here is the very running to God. He is modeling for us exactly what he's encouraging us to. Here is the writer finding his refuge in God. I will not fear, even though the mountains continue moving, the water keeps roaring. We will not fear a careful, thoughtful, settled determination to trust. The very fact that he says we will not fear, even though the earth is moving, intimates how tempting it is to fear, doesn't it? I mean, the very language just hangs with that temptation. The earth is shaking. The waters are roaring. The trial is real. The thunder of it is striking fear into the heart. But even though I'm tempted to be paralyzed with terror, I will not fear. It's a careful, thoughtful, settled determination to trust. Even though his every feeling is running in the direction of terror. It's a determination to say, I will not look at the waves like Peter and begin to sink in doubt. It's a determination to say, I will keep my eyes on Christ. I will trust that he is King of the waves. I have countless times had the difficulty of sitting across from someone, and I'm sure you have as well, probably, trying to offer them some words of hope, or trying to offer them some words of comfort, of truth, in the midst of troubles that quite honestly loomed so large at the moment that they seemed, even to me, as I was trying to offer words of comfort, to block out the sun. Even as I say things that I know are true, or even as I try to quote a verse of Scripture to someone, if I actually try to put my feet in their shoes, if I try to imagine what terror there is at facing their own death or the death of a loved one or the unexpected challenge that they're facing, I have to recognize that there is terror in the air. My words, any words, feel insufficient. But thank God, they are not dependent on me. You are not dependent on me. I, thank God, am not dependent on me to get through those painful times. I point you to, I point myself to the God-man Jesus, who may look small compared to the sea, compared to the storm, but who rules them completely. Who has the power to still the greatest storm, to bring you safely to the other side, as unthinkable as it is even to the ones who are trying to give you comfort to imagine how this can happen. I'm sure you have had this experience of praying for someone and saying, Lord, give them strength for this trial. I can't even imagine how you can give them strength for this trial. I can't even imagine how they can get through this trial. I can't even imagine what comfort of soul could possibly apply to them so deeply and so real in the midst of a difficulty like this that it will see them through. And yet, God does, over and over and over again, prove to be a mighty fortress, a bulwark never failing. And even though the earth and the mountains and the ocean are all quaking and roaring around and against me, no matter what happens, no matter what real difficulties I face, no matter what I see with my eyes, no matter what I feel underneath my very own feet, God proves Himself again to be a sufficient refuge. I'm so struck by the words, the verses that follow in Psalm 46. Really, you could say all of Psalm 46 is an unpacking of God as our refuge. And the verses 4 through 7, are such a striking contrast to verses 1 through 3 that talk about the great trouble and the mountains that are being carried into the midst of the sea. But then it says, though the waters are roaring and being troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling of the ocean, verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. So in verses 1 through 3, it's like the psalmist is describing the bigness of the difficulty and talking about the fact that God is a refuge in this kind of huge, huge, worst-case scenario, apocalyptic challenge. But then in verses 4 through 7, it's like he's going on to say, but it's no big deal. There's a river that runs through the city of God. And the people of God, anytime, because they live there, can drink and be refreshed. That's what it's like to have God in the middle of you. God is in the middle of his people, in the middle of his kingdom. And anywhere you go, whatever you're facing, you can be refreshed. You can enjoy his strength. He will be your refuge. It does go on to say that in the midst, even as this lovely river is flowing through with refreshment, in the midst of the challenges, it does go on to say the heathen are raging. The kingdoms are moving. Yeah, the challenge is still there. The trial is still outside, still battering against the walls. But notice this, he utters his voice and the earth melts. The earth melts. Notice the images that on one hand in verses 1 through 3 are used of water that's roaring and earth that's moving. And then he uses those same images in verses 4 through 7, but to show us how God's in control of those very elements. And he says, yeah, now we see this river that's running with refreshment, where we thought it was going to be a tsunami that overwhelms us. Now there is God speaking to the earth, and the earth is melting before him. The mountains are shaking and they're crumbling into the ocean, but God just melts them with his voice. Now the roaring water is a refreshing river for a besieged city. Now the earth and the mountains that seem so intimidating is melting at the very voice of God. All of creation, including whatever parts of creation are challenging to you at the moment, are under the control. Listen to the voice of their Maker. My faith, then, the psalmist is saying, is not in the immovability of this earth as much as I'm tempted to trust in that. It's a big earth. It doesn't move often. Maybe I should just trust in the firmness of what's under my feet. But then, when things move, when things start shaking, we quickly discover the very thing we thought was our refuge, we thought we were safe on solid ground, the ground is not as solid as we thought. So my faith is not in the immovability of this earth, but the immovability of my God. Not in the friendliness or beauty of the ocean, because it may sometimes roar at me, but in the goodness of my God who controls the ocean with his voice. Not in the strength or grandeur of mountains, but in the majesty of my God who created the mountains. Because God is my refuge, even mountains and oceans and earthquakes will never be able to crush me or even harm me. God is our refuge and he never fails. And so we run into him when our heart is quaking, when we're tempted to terror, when everything around us that we felt like was maybe a comfort zone, a place we could find happiness, all those things are being ripped to shreds. We run to God and he is real. And he is refuge. So let me encourage you right now, if you're going through a trial, all the more urgently. If you're not going through a trial, nonetheless, to commit the truth of God's word here in Psalm 46 to memory. So that when your mountains begin moving, when the waters of your life become troubled, you're not just thumbing through the Bible trying to find where are some verses that are comforting or encouraging, but no, rather you are immediately reminded of truth that is for people who are in trouble. Commit yourself then to him utterly in every part of your life. Those who trust in God, who trust in Jesus Christ, will never, never, never perish, but will live forever and ever and ever with God. And God promises that when we run to him, he will be the refuge we need. The Lord of hosts is with us. Do you see how the psalmist puts it in perspective? On one hand, when he starts off, the mountains seem huge and the waters seem loud. In fact, your mental vision is filled with it, the way he describes. The earth is removing, the mountains are being carried into the midst of the sea, the waters are roaring, the waters are troubled, the mountains are shaking. Your whole mind, your whole mental energy is focused on, purposefully by the psalmist, on the bigness of what it is you're facing. So as not to say, this is only for those of you who are going through small, fairly manageable trials. But no, to say, you know that trial that consumes your every thought? You know that trial that you wake up being scared about and you go to sleep being worried about? That trial God is a refuge for you in the midst of it. But then he changes the imagery, and instead of talking about the bigness of the trial, he talks about the bigness of God. And he says, God is able to refresh his people in the midst of a besieged city. God is able to speak to the mountains that are roaring, and they will melt before him. And so the great comfort is that the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of covenant promises, in other words, that God who has made promises to every one of his people, that God is our God. And when we focus our mind and our faith on him, the mountains melt. And the waters bring refreshment instead of destruction. And we know for sure that we are safe. If you have come to see God in Jesus Christ alone as the refuge that we'll hold, we give you the opportunity to publicly profess Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, your refuge as we sing this song. May God bless you.